Welcome to Apple Pie Playground, where we serve up slices of healing for the heart. Stay tuned for a journey of transformation back to the divine inner child. Can you come out and play today?
Welcome, everybody, to Apple Pie Playground, where we enjoy a little play self-therapy for the heart. I'm your host, Valerie. Shout out to BBS Radio, extraordinary folks. Thank you, BBS, for all that you do for us. So today, folks, let's talk about a picture I saw online this week, and it caught my eye. It was a beautiful, delicate flower growing up through the concrete. And I'm pretty sure that most of us have seen these kinds of pictures. And this picture was so very beautiful because it was unbelievable, actually. It was quite unbelievable that such a lovely, delicate, fragile thing could grow in such a hostile environment. And I thought of all of you. When I saw this beautiful picture, you are out there in the world and you are so resilient and determined to grow in the harsh environment of a pretty rough humanity right now. And that is a magnificent feat when you think about it. You are magnificent, friends. And you have not seen, and yet you trust. And that is so beautiful to behold. And I guess the good news is that our shared reality really is shifting, isn't it, for the better? And change is an everyday occurrence if we do, you know, take some time to notice what's occurring in our world. We can see change. And it's a shift that's occurring because we are shifting, right? And it's the good work that we do for humanity as energy for the light that's coming into this realm, right? And isn't it interesting how we tend to find comfort in the strangest places sometimes from the most unlikely situations? But it's our birthright, right? To bloom in the darkness because we are the light and we are conceived in living water. And our beingness has all it needs to create life, essentially, and create it abundantly, right? When we think about it. And so there must be something to the light of a flower that can grow in the concrete. And it must be a very powerful thing indeed that provides essence to such a lovely being out on the sidewalk. So I'm going to do something not recommended for show hosts to do, okay? And that is I'm going to tell a personal story. And I get it. Personal stories can make a really bad impression on the audience if we're not really careful. So throwing caution to the wind, I want to share an experience I had this week. And in all transparency, it is not going to reflect very well on me. Okay, so I'm just confessing that now. I'll get that out of the way. But I was in a situation this week with my car, and it did not go well. And I ended up talking with a man who had the very particular job of giving me the bad news, right, of the situation. Do you know what I mean by bad news? Have you ever been in a situation, in a position where somebody is sent, right, to handle the situation with you, right? And you know it's not going well when that person comes into the room. So that's the environment that we're in. And the problem with this particular gentleman was that he didn't realize that he was the one being sent to do that, right? It totally escaped him, and you could tell, right? But he honestly apologized for the situation I was in, and he took great care to be very open and authentic and apologize. And with absolutely no self-monitoring, I mean, no self-monitoring at all. I let him know, just in no uncertain terms, how bad my experience had been. And I didn't hold back. No reflecting, no breathing, none of that on my part. And, I sort of had checked my conscious self at the door, so to speak, and I was moving right on into a very reactionary behavior pattern, that's for sure. And then something totally unexpected happened, and it saved me from myself. It saved me from myself. It saved my spirit from a self-sabotaging scenario, I guess is how you would say it. After I shared my complete, utter dissatisfaction with the situation in the strongest terms possible, this gentleman who was sitting with me, he gave me something of a blank stare, sort of like he was utterly unprepared for what I had just told him. And so his face showed this blank stare, and he hadn't been ready for my comments. And then all of a sudden, his eyes widened and he looked at me and he said, seeing what you had to go through, I was really hurting for you too. Can I give you a hug? And that's what he said. He didn't think twice about it. He didn't give me an impression that he was shy about this proposition. He just said, "Can I give you a hug?" And before I even thought about what he had just said, I just automatically replied. It just came right out. That would be so nice. That's what I said. I didn't even think about it. My heart just said, that would be so nice, just out of nowhere. And frankly, I was shocked by both of us in the situation. The event was so unusual. And so the gentleman reached out his arms and gave me such a warm hug. And it changed everything about my experience. Everything. And I thanked him for hugging me. I did. I thanked him, and it jolted me back into my heart center in such a beautiful way, in such an unexpected way. And I don't know why I was so surprised, knowing what we know, right? Intellectually, we know why, but I was so surprised. And he must have felt sort of safe to share something a little more personal there as we were sitting there, about his own life and about his own battles. And I sort of suspect, as a way to explain why he offered a hug to a stranger, he went into a description about his own personal struggle. And I won't go into detail about it, but he had overcome a true challenge in his own life, a true challenge in his own life. And he was so proud of his progress. And I sat there and I listened, and I became so, so proud too. I was so proud of his progress and the beautiful reflection of that satisfaction, in his body and on his face. And he had decided to bless me with his good news at a most opportune moment to benefit us both. And we sat with his story and we ended up laughing together. And by the end of our conversation, my appreciation for my own situation had changed completely, a complete change of heart. And I realized that my frustration wasn't really about my car at all. And to coin a phrase, it wasn't really about the toothpaste, right? And this lovely gentleman, he knew that. He knew it too. And he listened and shared and soothed my spirit because his spirit knew to do that for me. His spirit knew what to do to pull me back into alignment. And that is magic, friends. That is magical. You can do magic, friends. And so, what do I mean when I say my frustration with my car wasn't really about the toothpaste? Or in this case, it wasn't really about my car per se, right? If you have ever listened to professional speaker and businessman Simon Sinek, you might know what I mean by the idea of it wasn't really about the toothpaste, right? Sometimes an argument isn't really about the topic being argued, right? And so Simon Sinek he's a CEO of the Optimism Company, and he's done a lot of presentations, lifelong presentations on leadership and all kinds of things. And anything he presents is always so good. He's currently doing a podcast called A Bit of Optimism. So I highly recommend it. I highly recommend it. So Simon Sinek likes to say that sometimes a specific problem that people will argue about is not really about that problem or the topic of that problem. It's about something different underlying the problem, right? And he gives this example of a couple arguing about putting the cap back on the toothpaste after using it. And so one spouse will yell, "You never put the cap back on." And the other spouse will say, "Whoa, whoa, whoa, what's the big deal? Just put the cap back on the toothpaste." And so Cynic will say that sometimes we are really only listening part of the time, and maybe we're just listening to the words and we're not capturing the full meaning of the expressions, right? We're not capturing the loudness or the intonation or the expressions coming out of the interaction. And he says, when we do that and we recognize that an argument is actually stronger than a 5 out of 10, like if you were to score, right, the argument, then as a general measure, what's wrong is about something else completely different from what's being argued about. Does that make sense? So, for the spouse yelling at his significant other, the situation was not about the toothpaste, right? That's the basic point. And this week, I realized that my frustration was not really about my car. But it took help from a fellow spirit to keep me from going sideways a little bit on that whole realization, right? And I was in jeopardy of losing myself to a dark situation because I let my guard down. I let my awareness down until I was essentially rescued. I was rescued by the spirit of a stranger who understood my dilemma on a spiritual, energetic level, no less. And whose essential self came to my rescue. It was truly a spirit rescue, friends. And the experience was most powerful, most revealing, and inspiring. And so what do I mean when I say my situation was a dark situation? Well, most of us still believe that the idea of darkness is synonymous with the idea of evil, right? And there is evil in the world. It is a physical form of unconsciousness in this physical world that focuses on devouring the light of conscious spirits. Okay, that's a real thing. The spirit of chaos is bent on tormenting our peace. There's no question about it. The chaos of the mind is alive and well, and we project it everywhere, right? But keep in mind, all that is dark behavior is not necessarily evil, right? That is a judgment call that we're making through the experience of our physical selves and the labeling and the identifying that we do. So we're talking about intentions and capacities for conscious awareness. So when we slip from the peace energy of our hearts, right? And when we lose our energetic stasis of peacefulness and diverge from the stream of source consciousness, and that's sort of an image that I'm creating for us to sort of see in the mind's eye, then we experience darkness, right? Darkness is the shadow side of our beingness. It's in opposition to our light, right? The shadow grows in the dimming of our awareness and the weakening of our spiritual connections to ourselves and source and to each other. So being out of alignment is like dipping our toes maybe in darkness or separation or being out of balance, you know, disrupting the unified field of source consciousness. And it may not take much. Right? It may not take much, and we just find ourselves sort of drifting downstream or swimming against the flow of the living waters that nurture us. And that's what I mean by darkness, right? Losing our balance, our peace. It's an eternal now task, right? This maintenance that we do is an eternal now kind of a task at every moment. So imagine, if you will, an intricate machine, okay, a finely tuned instrument with many parts, and it's all moving together until maybe a piece breaks. Most of the time, that one piece disrupts the precision of the whole mechanics, the function of the entire device, right? Well, it's sort of the same for the energetic realm, right? We are always essentially aligning and realigning in response to the choices of each of us as sovereign spirits. And it's something of an intricacy, I guess, of the river we flow in. You know, how we choose to enter the stream and swim in it and go with the flow or fight against it, maybe. And that's really probably why we don't tie our expectations to outcomes, as it were, because we are navigating a flow of true complexity, to borrow a term. And outcomes intertwine in ways that may be different than what we might imagine. So being tied to outcomes really pulls us from the inner workings of the machine, right? Or the device we're talking about, the intricacy of the workings of all of the parts and pieces together. If eternity was run on all of us spirits self-determining, you know, very particular outcomes, our machine would probably grind to a halt. You see? Does that make sense? Because a clock, for example, doesn't function to predict a specific time. That's not what a clock does. It functions to reflect the time as it emerges, right? By the mechanics of its function. Does that make sense? Well, it might be a little something to think about. I know it's definitely something that I have thought about this week, especially with respect to the incident with my car and the way that all of us as spirits are interconnected. And so, speaking of time, how about we play a little bit together? You want to? Let's spend a little time doing a little expressive play activity. And I know we like to do this on Sunday afternoons. It's a super fun way to kind of move away from maybe a fairly dense topic and find a little levity together. And we like to do that every Sunday. So let's find something to write with and something to write on, right? Like we like to do, or get your notebooks out. We don't want to leave anybody behind, so just grab any old thing to write with and any old thing to write on. We are just going to do a few things on paper today, very, very easy. And hopefully everyone has had time to grab a pen and a piece of paper. And so here's what we'll do. On your paper, draw a circle, okay? Draw a circle, make it big enough to add numbers like a clock. Okay, take a minute and turn your circle into a clock. Okay, and make it big enough so that you can write maybe inside it or on the very outside of it. And we're going to make a clock. Add the numbers. And add the hands. And remember, the numbers go clockwise, 12 at the top and around from 1 back to 12, right? And so after you have your clock made, I'm going to turn your attention to some times on the clock for our reflection. And when I do, write down your first thought about each time that I mention on the clock. Okay, understand? I'm going to turn your attention to some times on the clock. And I want you to just write down your very first thought about that particular time as it comes to you, as you reflect on that particular time in your day. And let's see what we come up with. So let's do one. Find 10 a.m. on your clock. Find 10 a.m. on your clock. What is the very first thought that came to your mind when I asked you to find 10 a.m.? So when you think about the clock striking 10, what thoughts come to your mind about your day and maybe the occurrences of your day at 10 a.m.? And write your thought on your paper. Just do a little reflection on your paper about 10 a.m. What is the feeling for you of what occurs in your day at 10 a.m.? Got it? Now let's do another one. Find 1 p.m. on your clock. 1 p.m. in the afternoon. Okay? What do you think of when you think about 1 p.m. on your clock? What is the thought that comes to your mind as you think about your day and 1 p.m. on your clock? Got it? Take a moment, write down your reflection, and you can come back to it. Think a little bit more on it if you'd like to. Do we have it? Our reflection on 1 p.m.? Okay, now take a minute and decide Which hour of the day is the most peaceful for you? Which hour of the day is the most peaceful for you? Okay? Think about that. Make a note of it on your paper and take just a minute and describe what that peaceful time looks like for you, right? What does it feel like for you? And some of you are going to say, I can hear it now. There's really no part of my day that's peaceful. I can hear that. I hear you say it. There's no part of my day that's peaceful. Then what you might want to do is add a time on your clock when you would like it to be most peaceful. If you can't find a time that's peaceful in your day, let's add a time on there and reflect on what could make it most peaceful. Okay? Let's take a minute and do that. Right? And jot down a few ideas or some reflection on your paper about that. Everybody got it? Okay, let's do one more. Take a minute and decide which hour of the day is hardest or most stressful or busiest or most unpleasant in your day. And there might be a few choices, so choose one. Choose one, make one choice, and think about that very stressful time in your day. And you can define that any way that you want to, right? Which hour is the most stressful for you, or the busiest, or the hardest? And just jot down your thoughts about that, what came to your mind, and just make a little note on your paper about that. You can describe why it's busy for you or stressful or hard, right? Why is it busy or stressful? What's happening in your day that makes that so very stressful? Okay, got it? Now, reflect on that hour, right? Reflect on that hour. Is there one thing you could do to improve that time of stress? Right? One thing, even a small thing, right? A small thing can have a big impact if we do it enough, right? What's one thing that you might do that's actually doable? Right? To make a difference in that hour of stress or busyness, right? That might improve that hour of your day. Can you think of something? It could be something small that might actually make a difference. Are you willing to try to put that into that hour and see what happens? So now let's think about it. What is the difference between your peaceful hour and your stressful one, right? What is the difference between that peaceful hour and your stressful one? And can you write down those differences, sort of reflect on that, make some notes that help you to see perhaps what's occurring at one point and maybe not occurring at the other, or how those hours in your day are so very different. And of course, they may need to be, right? Our lives take on different flow and we have different responsibilities, that's for sure. And sometimes it just helps to reflect on what's happening and how to align ourselves maybe throughout our day in a slightly different way that might be a little more helpful, right? And maybe we make it our week's meditation to come up with, something that improves that stressful part of our day, something that helps us align and balance through our day, right? And Just something to ponder. And I want to thank you so much for taking time to play today. It's the fun part, isn't it, of just taking a minute and allowing our inner child to come out and not judging what we love to do when we get our notepad out. It's a wonderful experience just to let go and be creative. And our spirit loves it, I can assure you. And maybe it even helps us feel better a little bit. So just a note, when the hand scribes, right, writes out in longhand, the sensory experience of it actually creates new pathways in the brain. It builds new pathways in the brain. It connects information pathways, right, in the higher brain, in the higher consciousness. And, you know, we don't really get that much now that we're all of us are sort of typing away on computers and phones and that sort of thing. But it is an encouragement, right? To sit down and to draw, maybe, and to scribble if you want to, or to write out things. It really is an experience that is meaningful for your mind-body connection. And we've sort of lost that, right? Where we are losing the mechanics of creating these pathways neurologically in our body. And we know that these pathways can connect to our, you know, our spinal column. And that is the opportunity of an amalgamation, so to speak, of our Christos energies as they flow through. So it is meaningful. And anytime we can avail ourselves of that kind of activity, I highly, highly recommend it. So, you know, it is easy to lose ourselves in less than ideal environments during our day, right? I certainly experienced that this week for sure. And maybe we live with a routine that builds in the stress and the hardship. It's not hard to do, right? Especially when we are responsible for so many others, maybe in a family or in the office. And it's a lot on our shoulders, right? When we consider that ours can be a dark world, friends, all too easily, right? Conspired by maybe circumstances that are hard to imagine or believe sometimes when we look past our own experiences and into things on the television that we're seeing or on the phone or conversations we're hearing on the bus or arguments that folks get into at the office, that sort of thing. And really, when we think about it, we have really only ourselves and each other, right, to break us free from all that really binds us here in this physical world. Our darkness is our forgetting that, our unity together. Our darkness is our forgetting who we are in moments of disconnectedness, right? Of being overwhelmed, right? And losing communion with our spirit. It is a world that tasks us to remain focused and balanced, no question about it. It's a world that bullies us and abuses us, and it's a dark wilderness for many, many people, more often than we might think, where the sound of source is hard to hear and where the true light of source might be hard to feel. Because, you know, our mind, our body, our spirit connections are weak or weakened, and we aren't flowing in Christos energies that a body needs, maybe to host our spirits in a sustained way. But we don't give up, do we? We are flowers growing in the concrete, out on the sidewalk, out by the highway. And we don't stop pressing forward into our hearts. And we're determined not to. And we learn to let go of judging our circumstances, right? And easing into observing instead. And when we can, our spirits are certainly observing all that is taking place. And they are observing each other, right? And we'll remember that the next time two egos get into a fight or they, They argue about the toothpaste cap, right? Maybe we'll take a pause when we can to consider what our spirits were doing while we're yelling at each other, right? What are our spirits doing? They're sort of hanging out, observing us, being so mindless about things, right? Whatever our case may be. And then we can offer forgiveness that comes from the spirit as it balances again, and we can realign. And we're always wanting to do that, right? And so, in that sense of things, we don't step away from others, friends, who are struggling. Just like we struggle. Others who are fighting the same fight for energetic well-being that we struggle with. And I will admit that saying that is probably a fairly unpopular view, especially in many spiritual communities, right, who tend to teach self-care above everything else in this physical realm. There is a very close tie to self-care as an isolated experience. And the interest in that self-care, in the ascending of this human experience. It's many, many spiritual communities are very concerned with that, rather than a concern for the unifying of spirits in our struggle. And so when I say don't step away from others who are struggling, it's not necessarily a popular comment to make, right? And so I guess the question is it the highest teaching to decide that care for the physical body as a single temple of our source is the greatest testament to our spiritual perfection? Is that the highest teaching for us as spirits in this physical realm? And my sense is we are not a single temple, friends, in our striving to outshine the darkness, right? We are not a single temple isolated from the unity and the unification of other spirits. And, are we rather a grid of energies reaching out with our light to connect together all that lies within the dark, right? To bring in the light, to pull source energy into the circulation of our physical bodies for the embetterment of ourselves and others. Right, and allow that light to emanate from us, because we cannot outshine our source, friends. Right? Yes, self-care is an important part of our spiritual routines, most certainly. And what is the end of that good work? Well, to reach out in the darkness with light that shines on the path for others to find. Our destination is home, friends, for all of us, right? Many lamps light a bright path. A man I did not know stepped in to safeguard my spirit at a time when I did not have the presence of mind to do it for myself. It is not enough, friends, to bring into yourself the light of source. We're not finished there, right? To develop Christo within your body, to transcend this dark realm as a solitary soul, is not our entire work. If that light doesn't shine on others, we're not finished yet, right? Will we begin to recognize each other by our spirits if we don't already, right? If we don't shine what we have and what we know and what we are, our duty is to the recognition of each other. This is our strength. This is our gaining on the darkness that we wish to overcome, right? Our spirits want to commune, to harmonize, to gather and align and unify. Yes, we are sovereign beings. Yes, that is most true. And our joy, our true joy, is our unity, friends. In the physical, we enjoy independence and individuality. It is the delight of our senses. It is the delight of our physical body to enjoy those things, to press against the challenges of what our physicality can offer, to take the risks, right? To test and tease the darkness. It is the opportunity to engage that activity, knowing that we have the power to realign. And sometimes that is a little dangerous because our realignment is not so assured if we don't have the remembrance and the capacity to renew our spirits together, right? So yes, we are sovereign. But our hearts long for recognition by other hearts, friends. Our light shines toward the horizon where Source awakens us as a collective of spirits, right? Down here in a dark realm, we are relying on each other. And that makes you the light of the world, friends. You are Christ energies moving through bodies. You. And our one job is to illuminate the darkness together. So be the lamp at their feet, friends. Be the lamp at their feet, whoever they may be in your day, wherever that takes you in a very kind generosity. And I think about it often, and sometimes, you know, I cry about it. Many of us struggle with burdens we cannot overcome alone. It's where we are in the darkness that we are fighting to overcome. And, you know, that's the way that it is until we evolve into our ascended animation and back into the wholeness of our light. And we are doing that. We are overcoming the dark. But there are many difficulties, and it can't be denied that there are many of us through genetics or difficult births or childhood trauma, rough upbringings or hardships that change us, right? Or by our deficits and our circumstances. Some of us cannot conceive of the light on our own. We cannot find our way out of the darkness by our own volition. And maybe we're not supposed to, right? Maybe that's what the unity and the unification of our spirits is supposed to do for each other. It will take the spark of others, the spirit of others reaching out. So if not you, whose light will illuminate the path, friends, for so many others? Without your revelation, without your smile or your hug or your kind word or your positive attitude, how will those in the dark see the way home? And I grieve so much sometimes. And then I realize there are beautiful beings just like you here, shining brightly. You are flowers in the concrete by the highway. And that is a beautiful, beautiful sense of our reality. And I cling to it. Many, many times in a rather tough day that I might have, it's a beautiful, beautiful imagery. And so We can get scientific about all of this idea of unity if you want to, this unified consciousness. And, you know, we can go back to quantum mechanics that does suggest that the universe is a web of relations, right? Interconnected and entangled. We are all particles linked toward the same fate together, so to speak. Our capacity for conscious awareness pulls us into the realm of source, where we recognize ourselves as more than just temporal bodies, right? As spirits eternal, inseparable from a source creator, right? We are a web of relations. Our true home is a resting place in the light that essentially cannot be dimmed, right? It cannot be darkened. And every time we commit to a practice of pulling light energy into our bodies, right, aligning with peace energy, we are attesting to the fact that we as spirits cannot be dimmed either. And our job is to go within our knowing that connects directly to source. We talk about this every Sunday, right? Using the Christos pathways of our body and its capacity to know itself divinely. We can know ourselves divinely, friends, by synchronizing the heart's energies to a celestial rhythm, right? With practices that balance us, practices that bring peace to us. This is all essential work for us. And we have another duty, friends. It is a view not everybody shares, like I said. But I have to urge our consideration of it. We have another duty, and perhaps it's our only true duty. That is a duty to unity. There is really no danger of losing our souls to a hell, friends. I have to tell you, we cannot be severed from our source, right? We can live a hellish existence in this physical realm, that's for sure. But bending to religious dogma that seeks to control us with fear is not the way, of course, correcting errant lives that we might live, right? And at the same time, we are not here to learn lessons that make us better humans, okay? That's not what we're doing, because we're not humans, friends. We are the dream of humanity. That's what we are, a humanity we love and care for and want to save from the dark as a trial of conscious awareness, I guess. We are spirits, rather, having a human experience, right? What do we get as a result of focusing on a hell that would punish us and focusing on the shame of failing to be as good as our neighbors at learning our life lessons, right? Of isolating ourselves and pulling into our spirit? What does that kind of focus really offer us? Well, it offers us piety, friends. Piety, setting oneself apart as a matter of practice. And is there a real purpose to piety? Right? We are not here to worship a savior. We're not here to obey anybody. We're not. That is a misdirection, a misalignment, a misinterpretation of everything that is good and true. Worship pulls us away from our inner focus to something outward, to something other than. And it undermines our sovereign spirits, the duty we have within. Right? Do we see that? That sacred duty to self-monitor the sovereign spirit within. So what does piety do but show off its worship of things outside of ourselves? And didn't Christ say to bring forth what is within us as our testament to the eternal self and its divinity that lies within us? So, getting back to the original question that we posed, Why are we really here? Well, we're here because essentially we don't remember how to leave, right? Essentially, in large part. But we are starting to remember, aren't we? We are waking. And we're getting help in our waking. Lots and lots of help. The universe and universes of universes are here helping. No question about it. And in that good work, we are called to unity, to bring forth what lies within each of us, right? Not through fears or separating ourselves in judgment, but by revealing our essential selves and our actions as a revealing of God's goodness, the goodness we can share amongst ourselves and with each other. And in that way, our true duty is to each other. And that duty trains us to do yet another important thing, right? It trains us to do another important thing, which is essentially to unify our own polarities within ourselves. When we look at the big picture, we are participating in a synchronicity of practices of unifying who we are. We serve others to unify who we are. We learn through others, friends, and what we offer others makes us more of who we really are. Does that make any sense? I hope that it does. And the Gospel of Thomas records Christ as saying, "Love your brother as your soul. Protect him like the apple of your eye." And so originally the phrase "the apple of your eye," it originally meant something like the pupil of your eye, right? The sight of your eye. The phrase also really is interpreted as the gateway of your eye. And so what is this gateway? What is this gateway of the eye? Well, the gateway is the portal that is us, right? The entryway to knowing, to universal truth, so to speak. It's the shift in consciousness that we experience that redefines us as eternal beings of light energy. It is our portal, our gateway, right? It is the vibrational connection with source itself, right? It is our coming and going as energies. Right? So love your brother. Love your sister. It is the gateway to your true self. It is the protection of our spirit itself. We are the apple of God's eye. Right? Everything in heaven conceives of you to serve you as part of the unified field of all that is source. Do we see that? And everything else, it's a playground of spirits, right? What we're doing here, it's the playground of our spirits. We're co-creating realities, friends. Our current reality is a beautiful, difficult, hardship expression called this thing that we truly love and we are so very dedicated to called humanity, right? Our experiment in the physical nature of this experience that Source would like to have through us. And so please, please let me just delicately, ever so carefully urge us to consider that our real duty is to serve our neighbor friends. To serve that spirit, reaching out into the need for balance, just like we are. As a process of unifying source consciousness, it's what we are all doing, reaching out together, unifying with each other, serving each other. It is the gateway to unifying the polarities of our essential selves. And as we practice being spirits, unifying with spirits, we learn stuff. We learn better how to unify the opposing forces within our own selves, right? We balance the inner self and its dualities. We find a way back to our true selves through others and our service to others through that gateway, friends. So my message today really is about protecting your brother as your truth, as your truth. Now, do I mean that control is what we need to do? Do we control every decision that other people want to make, right? Do we have a commentary about how others manage their lives, right? Do we want to offer input into every move in someone's life? No, absolutely not, right? Do I mean substitute our choices for someone else's? No, no, not at all. Remember, we are sovereign spirits and we are guided by our own inner compass, right? We are duty bound to be self-regulating for the sake of a shared harmony together. And we don't want to forget that. So our job here on earth is not to overstep the boundaries of other sovereign spirits, right? We want to stay in our lane, that's for sure. Our duty is to exercise our true natures and maybe to use that 5 or 6 feet of influential space taken up by our spiritual energies, right, around our bodies to harmonize our environment, to cause peace by our presence, right, to allow our light to shine on the dark mood of a person who might want to feel the warmth of God and see the light of God through us, right? To allow our spirits to connect the way we know how to connect, right? Remember, our bodies don't have to teach our spirits a thing, right? And it's true. We are no help to anyone when we put our energies at risk of being hijacked by dark intentions. It's true. It's all true. And at the same time, there is nothing, nothing more powerful than our pure energetic goodwill, right? It hosts the direct energies of our source. When we are pure at heart and about our Father's work in this realm, there is nothing more powerful than us when we are doing that. There is simply nothing to fear, friends, when we are fully clothed by the light. And as I think about it, this has been a really energetic week, full of lessons in the way that energy flows between hearts and the energy that binds us, really, as we are getting stronger together. So giving of yourself to others is a beautiful practice. And we want to approach our good work with clarity, for sure. And our balance is key. There's no question. And we do have a responsibility to our health and well-being, too. And that is for certain. So please don't let my message suggest anything else, right? Self-care is important. And finding our own best practices of shining our light is the way forward. And using our joy as our compass and remembering that service to others can be powerful in small doses. A smile, a handshake, a thank you, sharing a laugh, sharing a cry, listening when others speak from the heart. That is service most worthy, friends. A moment of intention, a moment of attention, a single kind interaction. It is all most powerful, friends. So, getting back to the picture we talked about at the beginning of the show and the flower in the concrete, the light is determined to find us, friends, our spirits look for each other and they long to heal each other. And if we can be present enough to sense what's happening between us and others during our day, we can grow this light that our physical experience in this earth realm so desperately desires, right? And no, our spirits are not in the habit of suffering for each other. That's not what spirits do, right? That's what mind-body experiences do. Our spirits simply want to commune, right? Our spirits want to unify in the company of familiar energy, right? Not to our disadvantage, but because we are in balance and in peace and harmony in a way that we can feel the pull of spirit that would bring us together with others. And so I want to thank you so much for spending time with me today. It was such a wonderful opportunity to be able to be here with you. And I am hoping that things that I might share might get your consideration in a week that is ahead for us. And there might be things we can meditate on. And I want to thank you so, so much, BBS. We love you so much. And we're so very, very grateful for your good work. And so, friends, it's time for me to go home. And I love, love, love each and every one of you. You are flowers in the concrete growing so, so beautiful. And take care of your heart space, friends. It's such a beautiful place. And so until next time, everyone, you have all of my love.
Time to head home, friends. Thanks for being a part of today's journey. We'll see you back on the playground next Sunday at 1 p.m. Central Time on bbsradio.com. Make sure to subscribe if you enjoyed the show. Find us on Telegram and X to share your insights on topics today. Your input heals the child in us all.